Good morning, brothers and sisters. You are now going to listen to a translated sermon by Brother Henk Leisinga, minister of one of the full gospel churches in the Netherlands. I want to speak this morning about a verse which we'll find in Hebrews chapter 11. And there are a number of thoughts in this portion of text which I would like to draw your attention to. In the last song we sang, the words were about people being able to see the living God in us. And Hebrews 11, verse 2 says the same thing. It is for their faith that the men of old stand on record. A testimony is given to those of old. The first verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then I read in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded by them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not a promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These texts are placed in the middle of a number of other texts, where all sorts of people are mentioned who sought God and received many thoughts from Him and lived according to Him. And still they had not received the promise. They had only seen it from a distance. And to people such as these, a testimony was given. That is quite something. If you have never been able to take hold of what was promised, and still such a testimony was a credit to you as a person, about your life, then special things must have taken place in your life. Who are these people of old? Old people, elders in the church? If that were the case, then it would be very restricted indeed. Are they people who knew the gospel of Jesus Christ for many years? I think you already know that the people mentioned here in Hebrews 11 are those about whom there are many accounts or stories in the Old Testament. They are also described as a great multitude. And as you can read in Hebrews 12, verse 1, a cloud of witnesses. People who lived under the old covenant. We live now under the new covenant. What a wonderful thing it is for us to be able to know God so well. To get to know Jesus Christ as Lord. To live in and be surrounded by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. If such a testimony was given to these people who lived in the Old Testament times, what will be said of us? That these people are mentioned in the Bible indicates that there must have been something special about their lives. And when I speak about the testimony of these people at the same time, I would like to draw the line further with regard to the testimony of Jesus Christ, but also to all that is written in Revelations. And this is shown very clearly in Revelations 11 about the two witnesses. And if you put verse 2 of Hebrews 11 into that context, then these people have much to say to us, witnesses, a word which we know very well. And if your spiritual life is functioning well, you will put witnessing into practice regularly. If you have really met the Lord Jesus, and if your heart has really been touched, then there will most certainly have been moments when you have spoken about this with others. And that is what it means to witness. You tell what has happened while you were present, what you have seen. A witness is something you give. You then speak about things that really work in your life. Or, as so often happens in society, to be a witness to something that has happened, for example, an accident. The Lord Jesus himself also said in John 3, verse 11, "We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen." And in Revelation 1, verse 5, he is called the faithful witness. He has spoken truthfully about all that he saw, not in the first place on earth, but in heaven, what he had seen and heard from his Father. In these matters, he has been a very faithful witness, and he gave very clear reports on what he had seen and heard. John, who wrote the book of Revelations, says that he testifies to all that he has seen. Revelations 1, verse 2. We know that John saw much of what Jesus did, and it excited him. He was always close by. He stayed near the Lord Jesus because he wanted to know exactly what Jesus said and did. But when John speaks in Revelations 1 about being a witness of all that he had seen, then he is no longer talking about the earthly things which you see with your natural eyes. He is speaking about the spiritual reality. Where he was at that particular moment was not the greatest place on earth. If you remember, he was exiled to the island of Patmos, but he was witnessing to what he saw as a spiritual reality, and he lived in it. That was the reality for him, and it gave him strength. It encouraged him. It caused him to remain close to the Father also, close to the Lord, who in turn was able to make known to him such tremendous things. Revelations 12 also speak about people who witness. People who have been caught up in the battle with the dragon. And in verse 11 it states that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Again and again they spoke about what they had seen, just as John did, and just as their Lord Jesus Christ did. And in the same way that the testimony of Jesus is the truth, so also is the testimony of John and of the people in Revelation 12 the truth. It tallies up. It is completely sound. The Bible speaks often about such witnesses. In Revelation 2, verse 13, Antipas is mentioned as being a faithful witness. Paul mentions Stephen. He saw what happened when Stephen was being stoned. And in Acts 22, Paul says, "Your martyr or witness Stephen." And then, of course, the two witnesses from Revelation 11. People who, just like the Son of God, spoke about the reality with which God is busy, the plan that he is executing. And all of these people live very faithfully, very precisely in the reality which God has revealed to them. They live according to it, they experience it, and they speak about it. When you testify about something, then you may also have the tendency to exaggerate a little, to embroider on the facts to make it sound nicer. It may only be one short sentence, or you just place a little more emphasis on certain things so that you stand in the limelight and it becomes obvious that it is your testimony. Or you add a few things to the testimony. You exaggerate. Some people are very good at it. And this often happens when people are uncertain of themselves. And in this way, they try to get hold of a bit of security. A person who has a tendency to be hysterical can also blow things out of proportion. It is so good when you no longer need to make things nicer than they are, and you can say it clearly and simply, just the way it is. When the desire is no longer there, and you no longer feel forced to tell stories that are not really true. There are others who have very definitely had experiences. They know that God has spoken to their heart. Miracles have happened to them either physically or in their inner person, and through which their personality emerged very clearly. but there is no testimony. They tell something about it, but there is a lot that they leave out because they are afraid that they themselves will take the limelight. And this can happen when people still suffer from the influence of the spirit who is responsible for the teaching of hereditary or original sin. Or that they are influenced by pious spirits who say, "You don't have to tell everything." Or, "Don't make it too nice, you're not that great. It's out of place to tell such things." Even though the person may really have had the experience. It is wonderful when you discover that you are free of such things, that you are no longer unnecessarily restricted, and that you can say what you want to say, no longer hindered by all sorts of accusations, by thoughts such as, "What do you have to say?" When you can speak freely, when you have the frankness to witness about the things the Lord has done in your life, not only in the church, of course, not just on the street, but also in the various daily situations where you come in contact with people, where you have a chance to let them see who is at work in your life. In the Old Testament, the word testimony or witness is also used. And in these cases, it alludes to words of the living God. And that word is often used for the law in which God very clearly indicates, "This is how I want it to be." And if we live according to God's law, the best will be brought forth in you. You will have the best life there is. If you listen to my advice, abide by the rules I lay down regarding the testimony. This law of God is so important that later when the two stone tablets are placed in the ark, it is afterwards called the testimony. The Holy of Holies is also called by that name. And the entire temple is called the testimony. That is God's ultimate goal, to have a temple that is so full of God's person, His words, His thoughts, that He can witness to all people, to the whole of creation, and also to the powers of darkness. In this way, He can say how His glory can really function in people. That is what it means to give a testimony. And when we give a testimony, then we are in line with Jesus Christ. We are in line with God, who does nothing except testify again and again, witnessing to what is with Him, what is in Him, what He thinks about, and what lives in Him. God is always ready to speak, always seeking ways and people to whom He can give His witness. Just as in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, where He says of David, "I have found David." So you see that God is searching for people to whom He can give a testimony about Himself. This, however, is not what I want to speak about in the first place this morning, because these people of the Old Testament did not only speak out a testimony, they received a testimony. And this was given to them during their lives. They were given a testimony. These people of old are well known for something. Something is told about them. And this is the way God speaks of them. You find them mentioned in the Bible. It does not mention what they had to say about themselves. We are not concerned here with their achievements, but about the testimony from God, the testimony from the Father as we know Him. And God does this sort of things often. In this way, God gives a testimony of His Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Why does God testify about Jesus Christ? Why does God give Jesus Christ that testimony? Because what God gave Him works in Jesus. Jesus says it Himself, "My Father testifies about Me." And those who are close to Him do not understand Him, or they do not want to understand Him. They watch carefully from a safe distance, but they don't want to get involved. And then Jesus says, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. I don't need to prove myself. Jesus says this in John chapter 5. And in verse 39 he says, you diligently study the scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life. The scriptures do testify about Jesus, but God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, goes a step further. He himself speaks it out. In Matthew 3 and in similar sections in the other Gospels, it is stated, "This is my Son." That is the testimony that Jesus is given. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And in Matthew 17, the words, "Listen to him," are added. These are the words which we hear so often at this time of the year, that God has pleasure in people. And you can even go a step further. God not only wants to give that testimony about Jesus Christ, he is searching for people about whom he can say the same thing, to whom he can give the same testimony. "You are my Son, whom I love. I am pleased with you." Let them listen to you. That is quite something. The time is approaching when this will happen. And do you know what I find so exciting? The fact that it is possible that I will be involved, that I will be present, that this will happen to me. Even though I may have put aside my earthly body, I will still be a witness when God gets such testimonies, and that people will even emerge who will really be revealed as sons of God. In the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, he says that God testifies about his Son. Namely, that his life is in his Son. I don't know how it is with each of you this morning, but it would be very sad for anyone to sit here among so many people who have heard wonderful things from God and not really have that life that is only to be found in the Son. It is such a wonderful life, with struggles, with opposition, but through it all, to have that precious life in knowing such a God, to renewal in yourselves as human being, and as time passes, who to life in the Son. And now the people of old, there were again a testimony. God, we have already seen that God gave Jesus Christ a testimony. And we could easily think, well, of course God gave Jesus a testimony. God gives a testimony to people who lived under the old covenant. How manage that? Not only were they given a testimony, but they died and they had not received a promise. They saw them from afar, they welcomed it, but they did not receive the promises. These people had to depend on words only. They did not have a great congregation around them where they could sing together and gave each other support. They were often people who had to find their way alone. That has an effect on me. It is challenging for me. There are principles at work in these people that I would like to have. There are indeed times when you have to go it alone, even though you are a member of a church that functions well. Sometimes you find yourself in situations where you and you alone have to fight the battle, simply because you have to go through it. In those situations, it is so important to know certain principles or rules or guidelines. And these I find at work in the people of old. Of course, in those living on the New Covenant also, but in these people of old too, people who lived in the shadows, under a cloud or veil, but they were still able to recognize the words of God, to grasp them, and to live according to them.
God says, I have found David, and then testimony follows, a man after my own heart. This means a man whose heart sought after the things that God's heart seeks. And somebody said recently during Bible study, when I look at David's life, I don't understand it at all. Saul is pushed to one side. David arranges that Uriah to be killed. And there are many other things that David has on his record. And still God says of David, a man after my own heart? How is that possible? I do not say this because of rebelliousness, but rather because I desire to know what is in the person. Then you need to take a look at the various things that David said. You will then understand that David was able to understand the voice of the living God. You will also discover that in many varying situations, he returned again and again to the heart of God. And this is what he sought most. And this is the reason why he is given a testimony. How did it come about that these people of old were given a testimony? Why were they given it? Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and many others? What is the clue? It is very simple. Faith. What is that? Let me first tell you what it is not. Faith is not, I have heard something about it. It is possible, or even, I am not certain. Well, yes, it could be. That is not faith. And when you become involved in a struggle with an evil spirit, with God's enemy, you can't begin anything with an attitude like this. Then you stand a very good chance that you will be beaten. Even if you know everything about the full gospel, you can also have this attitude. But then you have only heard it, and that is not what it means to have faith. You don't have faith because of all you know about God. Although it's very important to have knowledge of God, it does not amount to faith. Faith is something else. You can have knowledge about many things. Actually, all that is taught in the church, and in itself it is good. Search for it and find out what you do not know yet. But faith goes further. All of the thoughts you may have about God do not constitute faith. You can think about so many things, about God's plan. You can think constantly about God's plan. But faith is something else. Faith goes further. Faith is not your understanding of God, or all that you have an explanation for. Faith is also not what the church believes and professes. And therefore you believe and profess it also. We can confess the same things, believe the same things, and we can have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But real faith is something quite different. It goes much further. In the Holy Spirit and believe in the Sonship, you can proclaim it. But do you also have it yourself? Do you really strive for it yourself? Or do you just go along with the church? Your intentions are probably very good, but it is necessary that you acquire some depth in your life. The point is that you will benefit from it yourself. Faith is something you yourself have in all circumstances. And if you take a look at all the things you believe in this way, then you will discover what is really functioning in you. Of all the things you speak about and what has really become part of yourself, what keeps you occupied? Faith is what you have under all circumstances. The words that God has spoken and which you can hold on to. Also when you find yourself in a difficult situation, when things go against you, and also when the word of God is immediately confirmed, even when years go by. Then also you hold on to what has been said, and you know it is when you have really made it your own. And of course, the church can help you in this. Bible studies and church services can also play a part in this. But the important thing is what you yourself have. And that is what happened with these people of old. Faith does not depend on your feelings or on what people say, even if they happen to be people of your own choice. Faith is what you have in your own life. You can draw on it even when there is nobody around. Whether you are alone at your place, or of work, or sitting in a chair in the classroom, there is no need for proof, or that it will be proved. He healed me, therefore he is my healer. The Lord desires to go beyond that kind of faith. The Lord wants us as a church, but also as individuals, to learn to hold on to, and to confess the same things, even when everything goes against us. And that is what the people of old did. And that challenges me. Noah, who hammered away on the ark, while there was not a drop of rain to be seen, and everyone laughed at him, and he kept saying that rain would fall. And he told them that God had said it would rain. He continued doggedly to hammer away at the ark, while he continually heard what the people said. There seemed to be nobody who sided with him in his faith, except for a few children and his wife. Such a tiny group of people. In this kind of situation, it is not unthinkable that Noah would ask himself if he is not being eccentric or sectarian. When everyone else is in opposition to you, it is quite easy to begin to think that something is wrong. Just look at all the different people. Abram, who left for a country which God said he would show him. But Abram did not depend on his feelings or what people said. He did not depend on all that he had heard in the church, but on what was in his heart and what was a reality. Noah also had that when he needed it, or maybe in the times when doubts came into his mind. And during those times, he could fall back on the words which God had spoken to him. And it is as if the Lord says it again to him. For him, it is a great reality. The words sounded so clearly in his heart. He heard them himself in his own heart. They are at his disposal every moment of the day. What God has said, he can use. And that is the core of believing. God has spoken. You have taken it to heart, and you will never let go of it again. In every situation, again and again, you can hold on to it. In a very personal way, faith is acting on what God has said. In a very individual way, very close to you, like a person, it fits with the way you are built, with your personality, with the way you are. It means living in accordance with the rules that God has given, but done in a very personal way, acting on what God said, personally making sure you hold on to God's words. A few years ago, I was in a church in Germany. There were big problems in the church at that time, and it had reached the stage where no further progress could be made. I knew that the Lord had a plan for this church, and that he wanted to use me as his instrument, but it was all very fake for me. Then I started to seek out a few people in this church. I searched for those who really lived according to what God had said. After a while, I came upon a brother who said, "And I believe we will come through." He said that at a moment when it seemed as if it was all too late. "I believe that we will come through." I then said, "How do you know this?" And he replied, "God said it. He has spoken at church through prophecies. He has given thoughts, and I am holding on to those." And then he continued to say, "I haven't said this to him. God has spoken to me. In a very personal way, he has spoken to my heart. And this man took the Bible and read a few verses. And it was as if he shared the most precious things in the world with me. He was living according to what God had said, and he is still doing it. And that challenges me. Of course, I had heard the Lord speak to me on many occasions, but at that moment, I was taught a great lesson. To be in a very difficult situation and to still hold on to the gospel, to confess that the church will come through. And now it has come to pass that God had indeed spoken to him personally was proved to be the truth. Even though you see everything going wrong and still be able to hold on to the words of God, to act on it, and then your faith becomes a certainty. And that is also true, because in the original Bible text, the word faith also has the word certainty in its roots. When we speak, and what we speak as human beings in general, includes a large chunk of uncertainty. But the word faith means that there is certainty that cannot be shaken. When you say, "I believe," then that is 100% certain. God spoke in this way, and so did Jesus Christ, and he continued to go on in this certainty. Certainty then becomes proof. Faith is the proof of what God has said. Faith is trusting in unshakable facts. Faith is waiting for the fulfillment. Faith does not allow itself to be misguided by pretense. How were they able to keep it up? How were those people of old able to get their testimony? They were able to keep going because they allowed themselves to be carried in faith. Faith means being able to rest in words that someone else has spoken, to rest in unshakable facts, in God's promises. Faith means to be carried along. Biblically speaking, that word is also in the word to believe. To have faith is to trust in the person whose words which he has spoken out will carry you. If you understand this principle, faith is to trust in the one who carries you because of the words which he has spoken out. And then faith becomes the ground on which you can stand. You can then take rest in them, and in this way hold on to the words of God. Then you will notice that the Lord carries us day after day. Psalm 68, verse 20. And the God of Israel says in Isaiah 46, verse 3, "You whom I have upheld since you were conceived, and I have carried since your birth." Many, many times God spoke words to Israel, and by these words he carried them. He carried them, says Isaiah 63, verse 7-9. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And this is how old Simeon was able to keep going. Also the aged Anna and Joseph and Mary, Luke chapters 1 and 2. Always rely on what God has said and allow yourself to be carried. Find rest in the words God has spoken and know that he will fulfill what he has said, for the simple reason that you have heard it in your own hearts. If you can grasp this principle in your life, then in difficult situations, you will also be able to continue to believe in God's words. That is how the people of old did it, with the words they themselves had heard from God. Compare this also with Hebrews 1, verse 3, where Jesus says that he sustains all things by his powerful word. Then you can be given a testimony. Not only have you a testimony, and not only do you speak that testimony out, but your whole life will be one big testimony of faith in the words that the Lord has spoken, of what you have heard in your own heart. The point is not how advanced you are, how mature you are. The point is, however, what do you believe? And by that I mean, what do you have? What have you made your own, of speaking in tongues, of life after the baptism in water, or the character of Jesus Christ, of really being a member of the body of Christ? Of all these things, what has become a part of yourself? What have you done with them? It can be wonderful to go around with and be one of a large group of people, but God is looking for people like David, of whom he can say, a person after my own heart, because he hears my voice and he holds on to what I said. And even if he does not see it, he will continue and hold on to what he has heard and will treasure it. He will treasure it in his heart. God says, I am searching for people like this. Jesus Christ is searching for churches like this. Give yourself over to the Lord and receive a testimony from God. Amen. Let us thank the Lord together. Lord Jesus Christ, here we are with the words we have just heard, and we realize, Lord, that you are the only one who can really make them clear to us. And that is why I ask you to continue to speak this message to our hearts. And this very moment, while we are traveling, when we are drinking coffee, when we are eating, tomorrow and next week, Lord, we ask you to use these words, remind us of them, so that they become a reality in our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that we may expect you to do this. Thank you, Son of the living God, Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for us, and through this sacrifice, bought us for God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you saw us, and that you had the faith that we would develop and become mature. Lord, we want to hold on to this and live according to it. Thank you that you inspire us, that you support us and encourage us, that you carry us by the words which we ourselves hold on to. We pray for those listening to this cassette. Will you support them, renew, comfort, and encourage them? Your eyes are upon them. Your heart goes out to them. You want to confirm this message in their hearts also. We bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Your words will also gain in stature in their lives. Thank you, Father, for the faithfulness which you continually show us. Hallelujah. Amen.